I do hope that that is your testimony. If you're a Christian, let me tell you what Jesus has done for me. Amen? It's good news, and we need to share it with the people around us, people who are still looking for answers in life, looking for direction. A lot of people are inquisitive about God, about Christianity, and it's an opportunity for us to share with them. Good morning. Good morning. Good to see all of you. Glad that you're here. Good to have visitors with us. Good to have the church family with us. We're missing a few folks. We need to keep them in prayer and check up on them. Amen. Modern communications can be either a blessing or a curse. Last week, Ted asked me to remind all the men about the men's breakfast coming up tonight. I'm a short memory guy. Did I announce it? No. Got home and I was thinking about that and I thought, man, I forgot to announce that. So I sent out a group text. I've got three lists with most of you on it. I don't have everybody on it. I'm still working on that. I'm a little tech deprived, okay? So I sent out this group text to everybody and, guys, don't forget men's breakfast. We need a cook. And I got a few answers back from ladies. Why am I getting this? Then I had to explain in another text. I'm sorry, ladies. I didn't mean to offend you. I'm just using my quickest means while I've got my mind on it. So anyway, sometimes I can get into trouble doing things the quick and easy way, right? Anyway, I apologize if it offended you, ladies. But I did send out another text just for the guys. I just created a guys text, okay? So hopefully I can remember to use it next time. Several past civilizations developed different ways of sending messages and delivering those messages by different means. The Romans built over 250,000 miles of roads during their reign. 250,000 miles without caterpillars, without bulldozers. It was all by hand. And many of those roads are still being used. They were built so sturdy and so strong. It's amazing. And so a lot of roads, modern roads, follow that same pattern of construction. And we wish that some other roads did use that type of construction. The Incas used a vast road system, and they had runners carrying messages with knotted and colored cords. And they still have not figured out, they have not deciphered what those messages are. And they have those in museums. They're still finding more of those different strings, of different knots and color symbols that they understood. But it's a total mystery to us still today. The vast improvements have been made, though, in the last 250 years. Benjamin Franklin was appointed the first Postmaster General of the United States of America back during, as the Revolutionary War got underway, back in 1775. He organized the first mail delivery system throughout the colonies, trying to get communication going, because in general, most communications were only for government officials. And so they created something that everybody can use. How many of you still use delivery systems? We all do. You'll recognize it here in just a second. Mail delivery between the East and the West Coast in the early days took 3 weeks. And then a guy got a bright idea. Let's do it by horse. The Pony Express was developed, and it lasted just a couple years. They got it done. The fastest they moved it, not 3 weeks, but in 8 days, they got letters from coast to coast. amazing, all by horse and riders. But then, just immediately after that, Samuel Morse developed the telegraph, and he sent his first message on May the 24th in 1844, "What hath God wrought?" What hath God wrought? The first telegraph message. And now we wonder, what in the world are people rotting? Because today, after the telegraph came the telephone, fax machines, television, computers, cell phones, Apple Watches, and what else? I mean, it's just going crazy. And we find all kinds of rot instead of God's word. We now hear the world news faster than we know what our neighbor is doing. We know more about the world than we do about the people living behind us. The Apostle Paul kept in communication with the churches that he established, the churches that he planted, and with others that he heard about. And he stayed in touch with them with letters, with messengers, and with personal visits. With the love of Christ filling his heart and the Holy Spirit guiding him, Paul's desire for every Christian was that they continue to grow in knowledge and understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ, to mature in serving their Master, the Lord Jesus. Every Christian becomes part of a living body of Christ. And those other believers, even though they were new in faith, they were still part of him. And he was part of them. We are to daily replace our corrupted practices with the righteous teachings of Jesus Christ and what the apostles passed on to us, the writings of the Old Testament, so that we can live in a way that pleases and honors God in all things. Since Satan continues tempting and testing us, especially we who are Christians, often successfully, how many times is Satan successful in your life? That's, we just dealt with that with through the Lord's Supper. You know, Satan is constantly bombarding us. Everyone who claims to be a follower of Jesus Christ must continually evaluate our actions, our responses, our motives, and more as we continue growing in Christ's love. And that love includes having a continual concern for fellow Christians, for fellow brethren. We need to care about each other because they are part of us as much as we are part of them. You're part of me just as much as hopefully I'm part of you. We need each other, and we need to be concerned for each other. The Holy Spirit guided the Apostle Paul in writing another letter to the believers at church in Corinth. And these are divinely inspired words, inspired by the Holy Spirit, God himself working through the Spirit to give Paul the right words to say that are righteous words, directive words. They are to be equally applied to the church at Corinth. The Apostle Paul also says these words are also for the whole region of Achaia. We would call that a state, the state of New Mexico. And if they were good for the Christians of the first century, they are good for who? Good for us as well. Words that we need to take to heart. They are for every Christian, every believer of Jesus Christ. The same Spirit who guided them in truths wants to guide us in God's truth, if we will listen. That seems to be the catch. Are we going to listen to the Spirit of God? Join me in a word of prayer. Thank you, Father, for your word of life. We thank you for the scriptures that have been preserved for us. We thank you for working through the various authors to write down your will, your truths, the stories that we need to see and learn from, that we might grow and mature in your will today. Help us to continue to seek your ways, your will, your truths, your righteousness, and to pass them on to the people around us. Father, help us and guide us as we just reflect upon a small portion of your wonderful word, your words of life. Help us to develop that concern for our fellow brethren, other believers, that we can stand in strength, your strength, not ours, but yours. Guide us and direct us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. My thoughts come from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 12 through 16. And let's read those verses, and then I will deal with this thought of concern for the brethren. Reading from the New American Standard Translation, we find these words, "For our proud confidence is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in holiness and godly sincerity, not in fleshly wisdom, but in the grace of God, we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially toward you. For we write nothing else to you than what you read and understand, and I hope you will understand until the end. For just as you also partially did understand us, that we are your reason to be proud, as you also are ours, in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. In this confidence, I intended to first to come to you, so that you might twice receive a blessing, that is, to pass your way into Macedonia, and again from Macedonia to come to you, and by you to be helped on my journey to Judea." So we're going to just stop right there. And my thoughts are leaning towards Paul's concern for his fellow Christians, the brethren. The brethren that he has left behind in the city of Corinth, he wants the best for them. He's writing to them out of concern for their welfare as well as them helping him. They are in this together. They are serving the Master together, and we need to develop that same attitude. The first point I want to deal with is Christ's love led Paul to show concern in multiple ways, and he refers to some of these in this text. Jesus said the greatest love is to do what? To lay down your life for your friends. The ultimate is to lay your life down. We talk about it quite frequently. Our society talks about the greatest sacrifice of our emergency people, our military, is to actually give their life for the benefit of our country. That is a principle based on Scripture, on the fact that who is the greatest person to ever live is Jesus Christ. And what did he do? He laid down his life for all humanity, to give us an opportunity to have everlasting life if we believe in him and walk with him. We need to remember that. And we see that the apostles' life is shaped around that. There are also many other ways of showing love as we look at the life of the apostle Paul. First of all, Paul devoted his life to serving Christ Jesus full time. Before he became a Christian, he was devoted to persecuting the church full time. But once he converted to become a Christian, realized that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, he gave his all to becoming a preacher of the gospel, the good news, the message of salvation in Jesus Christ. That starts back in Acts chapter 9. If you're not familiar with your Bible, I encourage you to read the book of Acts. It's the history of the beginning of the church, some of the key points that happened. We also find some of that information in the book of Galatians. The Apostle Paul shares his personal testimony in the book of Galatians. It's a record of his conversion from persecutor to preacher, from a hater of God, Jesus, to a lover of God, Jesus. Acts chapter 18 records Paul's ministry in Corinth specifically. during his second missionary journey. And when he was at Corinth, he was probably getting a little bit discouraged, but the Lord encouraged him. And he spent 1.5 years at that one church preaching, teaching, instructing those believers in the truths of Jesus Christ and the will of God before he moved on to the next town and the next region of spreading the gospel. Paul returned to Corinth on several occasions, and he talks about wanting to go back again, not just once, but twice, to be a blessing to those Christians, those people who were desperate for knowing more. He wanted to share as much as he could with them. And if he couldn't go himself, he frequently sent others to help on several other occasions. We read about that in other passages of Scripture. Not only did he spend the time with them, not only did he send helpers, he sends the letters. We have 1 Corinthians. And there's another letter in between 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians that has been lost in time. We don't have it. It was not preserved. So this, what we call 2 Corinthians, is technically 3 Corinthians. But we don't have that middle one. So he's writing to them over and over and over again, trying to encourage them in the walk of faith, making sure that they are walking the path of righteousness, correcting the misunderstandings, instructing them on what they needed to do. And we know of at least 3 letters, and there were possibly more. So he didn't give up on the Corinthians. Through all the troubles that they were going through, he didn't give up on them because they were brothers and sisters in faith. Paul tried to maintain contact with his students on many occasions. He is the most prolific writer of the New Testament. He was trying to stay in touch with all kinds of fellow believers. He describes new believers as being spiritual babies. How many of you like to be called a baby? We grow up and we think, oh, I'm mature. But quite often, spiritually, we're pretty ignorant on the many things, aren't we? We are babies. And so Paul was trying to get them to understand the basics so they could increase in knowledge and understanding of all of God's truths. So much that we don't understand that we could if we just take time to study, to take God's word into hearts. And he's trying to help these spiritual babies grow up, mature, so they can stand on their own 2 feet spiritually, to stand against Satan, the corruption of the world. God's word is to be our bread of life. Who said that? Jesus. He said, I am the bread of life. Eat me, drink me. What? That really threw some people in a tizzy. They thought cannibalism. That's not what he was saying. He said, take my words. My words are life. We're to eat of God's word. We're to drink of his spirit. We're to hunger and thirst for less? No, for more. You physically get hungry. I trust that you all get hungry. How many of you are hungry right now? Come on, face it. How spiritually hungry are we? I'm glad you're here. That shows that you're hungry for some. Will you be hungry for some later? When you leave today, will you pick up your Bible and eat some word this week? Maybe later today? I know some of you do. I need to do more. And I assume that we all need to eat and drink more. Let's do that. Let's focus on the things that are important. Yes, we need to live in this world, but don't forget, your spiritual soul needs fed and watered. Paul's travels were focused on serving others in Christ. He had conversations with non-believers to lead them to the Savior, and he instructed those who believed in the truth of Jesus Christ using the Old Testament as his source material, along with what Christ had taught him supernaturally. And it all matched what the other apostles were teaching. Paul's many letters focused on living for Jesus. And he praised the people's faithfulness. And whenever they were out of step, which was quite often, especially with the church at Corinth, he corrected their problems. And then he encouraged them to continue to grow. He didn't throw up his hand and say, "Well, you're just a worthless bunch of trash." He said, "You are my brothers and sisters in faith. Let's get with it. Let's do it right." Jesus' final command is that we must teach everything that he taught. And Paul took that seriously. We, today, you and I, we need to pray for more preachers. We need to stay in contact with each other. We need to be quick to serve others in need. And we need to encourage each other in the spiritual growth. Share those lessons that you're learning. Share what God is doing in your life. Help those who are weak and struggling with sin. We're family. Jesus made us family. The second point of this message, based on this passage, is that analyzing what motivated Paul to continue enduring hardships. What kept Paul going? He mentions afflictions and sufferings in the previous verses. And he says that those incidents, those experiences were for the benefit of helping other believers. And that their sufferings were to help and encourage him. What kind of sufferings? Paul didn't really know what suffering was, did he? Oh, yes, he did. And he talks about it. You see, there were a bunch of people who said, "Oh, Paul's, he's not worth listening to. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't know what suffering is." And Paul had to defend himself. So turn over to chapter 11. Chapter 11, verse 23 through 29. And he says, "Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I more so. In far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 time I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. And night and a day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. Who is weak without my being weak? Who is led into sin without my intense concern?" Paul suffered. Why? Because he loved his brothers and sisters in faith. He loved people. He wanted them to find the new life that he had discovered. He wasn't bragging. He was telling what he was willing to go through, because what he went through was small compared to who? Jesus. Jesus took all our sin and paid all of it. He went to the cross. He suffered on the cross so that you and I can sit here and just talk about it. Yeah, what suffering do we go through today? How many times have you been held up because you believe in Jesus? How many times have you had yourself beaten? I haven't had all that stuff. Wow, what am I complaining about? Brothers and sisters, What are you willing to go through in order to share Jesus? Paul went through persecution to love people, to bring them to salvation. God gave Ananias, another believer, a scary job. Right after Paul had that vision that blinded him from Jesus, he was sent on into Damascus, and God tapped Ananias on the shoulder and says, "Hey, Ananias, I've got a job for you. Go over and talk to Saul of Tarsus and tell him about Jesus." You want me to do what? He's out here to kill me. God is going to tap you on the shoulder and say, "Hey, I've got a job for you. Go over to that person that you've had an argument with, you've been fighting with, you've been struggling with. You want me to do what?" No. Don't worry, I've got a plan for them too. "Okay, Lord." And Ananias went. And Saul became one of the most powerhouse preachers because a man was willing to put his life on the line. What great preacher will you lead to Jesus? What great teacher will you lead to Jesus? What great servant will you lead to Jesus? We don't know. But God knows if we will go and face the challenge. God knew Paul's desire to serve him. God knew Paul's choices for the future. So he sent innocent Ananias into the lion's mouth, and he became a believer. Christ revealed the gospel to Saul, teaching him God's truth. It's recorded from Paul himself in Galatians chapter 1, what he went through, the struggles, the realignment of all of his belief system to become a believer and servant of Jesus. Paul sought the guidance of God's Spirit in all of his decisions. We see that it was the Spirit who called Barnabas and Saul to begin the first mission work. Recorded in Acts chapter 13, they were praying. The leaders of the church were praying, "God, we want to do your will." And then the Spirit said, "Okay, you're ready to really do my will? Send Barnabas and Saul out into the world to be my witnesses." You want us to do what? You want us to leave home and go do something else? Leave our comfort zone? The Spirit guided the mission team on their second trip. We read specifically, God diverted them from some places so that they would eventually get to Philippi. And we have the story of the Philippian jailer, where Paul and Silas dealt with stocks and bonds, not the financial kind, for the glory of God. So many great things happened when you listen to God's direction. The Lord instructed Paul to remain on in Corinth to preach. God spoke to Paul over and over and over again. And he listened and he obeyed. Christ's love for people had filled Paul's heart. The apostle was willing to make any sacrifice necessary to win some for Jesus Christ. Christ's grace and redemption set Paul free to reveal it to other people, to share it with other people. Paul had died to his own sin. He was a murderer. He had killed Christians. And now he's going to go talk to people about becoming a Christian. And he was willing to die as a Christian. He was willing to do whatever Jesus put on his heart. He was reborn. He was clothed in Christ. You and I, most of us here, if not all of us, have chosen to make Jesus Lord and Master. We have been reclothed. We have been buried and died to sin and raised to old life? No, new life. Will we listen? Will we follow? Doing God's will. Paul considered the Corinthians to be his spiritual children. And he wasn't going to just leave them out there to hang out to dry. He wanted to make sure that his babies grew up and became servants of God as well. He wasn't returning them to the grip of Satan and death. Paul prayed that the Corinthians would stand firm in Christ to receive the crown of eternal life from the Lord, the King, over all time and eternity. Paul knew that the church of Corinth would be a good servant to the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would help in the ministry of Jesus. As they conformed to Christ instead of to the idolatry of the city, it was a pagan city, open immorality, no problem. And those Christians were struggling in living a righteous life. But Paul knew they could do it because with Christ, I can do how many things? All things. As they served Jesus, they prepared Christian businessmen and sailors to devote their lives to become missionaries to the world. By strengthening fellow believers, encouraging them, it helped them remain steadfast in that new life that were given to them through Jesus. Paul gave it his all. Our lives are kind of similar to the church at Corinth in many ways. I don't know if you've thought about it, but you know, Albuquerque is kind of a crossroads of commerce and trade of many cultures. We're surrounded by all kinds of different cultures. And we have an opportunity to give everyone of every culture the truth, God's salvation through Jesus Christ. Paganism and idolatry and sin dominate the lives of most of the people around us. Most churches are pretty empty today. There's a lot of room, a lot of seating available. So that tells you, out of a population of about 1 million people, we still probably have a large group of people to reach, don't we? Just as the church at Corinth still had a pagan city to reach. As growing Christians, we still have sin that we have to deal with in our own life that we need to surrender to Jesus. So we're no different from the church at Corinth. They had their sin. We have ours. We still need to keep confessing it and getting our life in line with Jesus. Just as Paul and Silas and others invested their lives in the church at Corinth, you've had David Morgan, David Sawkins, David Rohrbach, Milo Davis, and many other preachers who have given of themselves to this church to try to help this church grow and mature. And I haven't listed everybody. There's a bunch of people who have invested in this congregation. What are we doing with that? Putting it in a little box and setting it on the shelf and saying, thank you, goodbye. Or are we going to use it for evangelism, for sharing Jesus? The evidence of Christ's love was in the church at Corinth, as they loved one another, and the evidence of Christ's love is in you as you love one another. Our concern for fellow believers should be motivating us to stay in touch with each other. We have a little thing. I was going to bring it up here and I forgot. That's another thing, short-term memory loss, you know. How many of you have a church directory? Why did we do that? So we can just waste paper? No, it's so we can stay in touch with each other. Keep in touch with each other. Help each other. You can even write one of those old things called a letter. Or you can call them. Or text them. Or when we're at church, get to know each other a little bit better. You can do it during the week too. I won't charge you any extra. Stay in touch with each other. Lovingly help those who are struggling. When you notice something's not quite right with somebody, that's probably the Spirit of God speaking to your heart and saying, you need to go talk to Fred over there, to Harriet. See what's going on in their life. Help them. See if you can be a help. Work with your fellow believers. We have a Singspiration coming up with some of the other churches coming up here in a couple weeks. And a lot of you are saying, oh, I'm not into that old gospel music, those old hymns. I would encourage you, come out and try it. Get to know some of your other fellow believers that are from around the area. Think about it. And then do something about it. And it doesn't have to be the Singspiration. Maybe you want to get together a group with other Christians from other churches. Go for it. Grow in knowledge and understanding of what your fellow believers around are doing. We're not the only ones. If you thought we were the only ones, you're mistaken. If I gave you that impression, I'm sorry. There are other Christians all around us. And we need to help and support each other because we have one master. Who is it? Jesus. Let's serve Jesus and work with fellow believers. We need to continue supporting our mission efforts. Part of your offering goes to helping the few missions that we support. And maybe you know of some other missions that are worthy, that need help. Go for it. Trust God. Pitch in. Participate. We have mission efforts here in the city, within the state, within the nation, and across the world. And every one of those servants of Jesus who have committed their life to become like Paul and Silas, like Barnabas, like other first century missionaries, they need our support. Grow in Christ's love as you grow in concern for your brothers and sisters of faith. If you have questions or concerns about your own personal walk with Jesus, I encourage you to talk with me. Give your life to the Lord. Walk with Him. Be true to Him. We've been blessed the last about the last month now. People coming forward, giving their life to the Lord. And maybe you're one of those people who want to do that as well. And if so, step up. We're here. We're family in Jesus Christ. Pray with me. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Thank you for hope and promise. Thank you for life everlasting. Help us to be an encouragement to each other. Help us to straighten up the messes we get into with your help, confessing our sin and finding your direction through your word and through fellow believers. Guide us. We thank you. And praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.